Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and dangers lurk in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
I've been to Sibylline before. Honestly, this is turning out to be a far more interesting trip than the last one already.
Valuable goods, alien artifacts, hidden away. I mean, that sounds attractive to me.
Would you say this discovery might be worth, at least $1.2
million? Yeah, I know we're trying to get out of here quickly, but there's no way we can walk away from this now. The potential profit is... I need a minute.
I'm gonna walk a couple steps away and just kind of crouch down.
So sit back and enjoy. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast. All hands aboard the Scapegoat are on the bridge as Robert pulls a ship out of metadimensional space alongside the planet Sibylline, the last outpost on the fringe of civilized space. Froggy is practically vibrating with excitement as he strains over Robert's shoulder to get a glimpse of the planet on the view screen.
I swat Froggy's hand away. Get your grubby little mitts off that. These are delicate instruments.
Froggy, get away from there. I grab Froggy and I pull him away. Come on, Robert, give him a break. He's just excited. He hasn't seen this woman in what, 25 years?
Not just a random person, my best friend. I still have the letter that I wrote her.
Froggy pulls the letter from his pocket. You recognize it immediately as the letter he wrote back on Wolfisa and asked you to deliver to his friend off-world if you ever so happened to run into her. Though, I guess I can just catch her up on everything in person. With my own actual voice this time.
The voice of the Waste returns.
Hold on a second. Froggy, you haven't heard from her in 25 years? How do you even know she's still there?
Oh, well, we were writing over the ExoNet until the Guardian shut it down. But she's here, all right. And boy, will she be surprised to see me, Froggy, in the flesh.
If we didn't need fuel, we wouldn't be stopping at all.
At this, the bridge's speakers click on as Dr. Voss chimes in.
Don't forget who's paying for this mission, Robert. Sibylline is where the first alien artifacts were discovered 7 years ago. There is no way in hell I would miss the opportunity to see it for myself. And what's more, Froggy's friend Vera is a doctor of xenoarchaeology who works for Lycar, a research corp I've always admired. I bet she has all sorts of interesting things for us to check out.
I'll bet.
Research? Great. Sounds fun.
Oh my god, Haley, don't you have any wonder for the universe? I mean, there is proof on this planet that aliens exist. Isn't that enough to excite you, even just a little bit?
Excitement? For Sibylline? I've been here before. It's just another dusty planet on the edge of space.
But this time it's special, Haley, because Vera's here.
Froggy, I'm sure Vera's a hoot.
Froggy, I'm with Haley on this one. Don't forget, we have a tail. Probably still following us ever since we left Wafisa. Veridine's risk management won't be forgetting about us that easy. The sooner we can spike out of this place, it's going to be better.
That's a good point, Robert, but we've been in metaspace for a long time and all of us could use a break. Let's just try to keep this visit short. Prep the ship for docking. Felix, run maintenance and security protocols, and Haley, grab our gear. Robert, take us in.
Aye, Captain.
The Scapegoat's monitors switch to the starboard bow camera, and Sibylline comes into view. A dull gray ball streaked with black, naked and exposed, with no cloud cover to speak of. A line of cargo ships circle the planet's gravity well as they patiently wait to land. Another line of ships burn away from the planet's surface towards the edge of the system, powering their spike drives for wherever their cargo is headed. All speakers across the ship click on with a hiss, and Dr. Voss says,
Sibylline, population less than 500,000. Almost entirely researchers and support teams. The economy and infrastructure is completely focused on the discovery, excavation, and exporting of alien artifacts, of which there are numerous. The planet is almost entirely bone-white deserts crisscrossed by ravines up to a kilometer deep, the most famous of which is known to explorers across the sector as the Gloom Trenches. The 15-hour days are subject to scorching heat from Sibylline's white dwarf F-type star named Shepherd. The days reach upwards of 120 Fahrenheit, and the nights as low as 20 Fahrenheit. The air is breathable, for a short time, but is too thin for survival beyond a few hours. Gravity is a pleasant 0.8 G. You won't need environmental suits, but oxygen masks and tanks are crucial.
Yeah, and I scanned the planet's landing registries, and Froggy's friend, Vera, she seems to be stationed pretty far from the main sequence of docking towns. So I guess the good news is we won't have to wait in the queue. The bad news is fuel in that outback won't be cheap.
Are there any bars?
I wouldn't call any of what I'm seeing bars, no, Haley.
Ugh.
Chin up. We're going to see Vera.
Vera. Ugh.
Robert takes the scapegoat smoothly into port, landing softly on the sand-swept lot of Lycar Research Incorporated. Nearby are three domed buildings of concrete topped with satellites and antenna. Stacks of steel boxes are piled up along the lot. A loading bot quietly moves about the boxes, stacking them neatly. The white desert of the planet stretches off to the horizon, where it meets the indigo sky. You lower the hatch of the scapegoat, fasten on your oxygen masks, no environmental suits necessary, pick up your oxygen tanks and strap them to your back, and move out onto the sun-baked tarmac of the landing lot. Birdsong and the sounds of insects surround you immediately. This is a very lively place. Not at all what you pictured when you thought about the great desert world Sibylline. You thought it would be a dead world, but it's obvious that this is a planet full of flora and fauna just waiting to be discovered. The loading bot ignores you as it moves past with a steel box, almost stacking the box on Felix's foot right in front of your ship, and then moving away.
Hey, watch it, Rust Bucket.
Oh, shit.
God, it's hot out here.
Felix, I'm pretty sure that was just your doctor buddy from the space gas station.
Yeah, you gonna try to make a pass at her?
How dare you? Also, that was not a robot on the space station. That was the story I told you last time, that a robot tried to make it with me.
Honestly, all that you're saying now is that this has happened multiple times.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing.
The accidental subroutine and the robot at the gas station.
It wasn't a robot.
Felix, we can't keep all of your lovers straight. You're a romantic. You probably leave a string of women across the world wherever you leave. Probably across the entire galaxy.
Oh, okay, Froggy.
I'm not saying that's Felix, but Dr. Voss, watch out.
What do you mean, watch out?
He has a type.
He does.
She has a point.
And clearly it doesn't end well. I mean, that robot just ran over his foot.
At least it's a robot foot.
Love hurts. Ha ha. Very funny, assholes. Can we just get on with why we're here?
As you're going back and forth, the only person that notices is Robert. You notice that a woman exits out of one of the domed buildings. The woman starts to jog towards you, an oxygen mask clamped over her mouth, but she doesn't have it like strapped on. She's just holding it there with a hand, and her tank is slung casually over her shoulder as she jogs towards you. She has brown hair and blue eyes. She wears dark clothing and a wide brim hat. As she strides up, you can hear something muffled coming out from underneath the mask. And as she gets closer and everyone realizes that someone's coming, you hear,
"Hey, hey, who do you think you are? You can't just come down here and land on my lot. I have three more days. Count them." And she holds up a hand with three.
Whoa, hang on. I think there may be some sort of misunderstanding here.
Misunderstanding? I recognize a merchant class ship when I see one. I know who you're from. The auction is in 3 days. I know you're probably going to win the auction. But you haven't won it yet. Get off my property.
As intriguing as this auction is, no, I think you have us mistaken. And I gesture towards Froggy, who I assume is with us. I believe you know this man.
Vera? Is that you? Yeah?
And then it dawns on her. You see her face relax and she says,
"Reggie?"
And he says, "Yes, Vera." And they embrace each other and give a big hug. And she says,
"Reggie, I didn't think I would ever speak to you again. When the Exonet went down on Wafisa, I thought that was it. How did you get off world?"
He just gestures vaguely at the four of you.
I kind of just look around at the rest of the crew like, "Reggie?"
And I'm like, "Reggie?"
We're all like, just mouth the word
who
Reggie.
Who the hell is Reggie?
He gestures vaguely at you and he says,
I met some people. Well, it's fantastic to see you, Reggie. Please. All of you, come in. I'll give you all a drink and we can catch up. Oh, Reggie." And they walk away you know, arms around each other, chatting back and forth a mile a minute.
Oh, yeah, Vera, we're going to need to learn way more about Reginald over here.
Oh, so now you're interested in staying here, Robert.
I mean, he buried the lead. My boy buried the lead.
He's less interested to me now.
Plus, I heard something about drinks and something about an auction. So let's see what we can find out about that.
So you all follow Vera and Reginald up to these concrete domes. There's three of them. She leads the way to one of the doorways, and then she waits for you all to catch up. She looks at you, waits, looks at you, waits. You guys are talking amongst each other. Then you guys are walking and then talking. She's talking to Froggy. She's waiting. Then when you guys finally catch up, she says, it's very expensive to cool the insides of these things, so we all have to go in pretty quickly. She opens the door, and you all move in, and she snaps it shut behind you. This windowless concrete dome feels subterranean, and it feels very, very cool in here after being outside in like 105, 110 degree heat.
What a relief.
It sort of has the feeling of an Arctic research station a little bit. You feel like you just came in from like a very hostile place, and now you're like safe in this little cocoon on the edge of the world. In here, there is a gas stove, a long sandstone table. There's no art at all, and there's hardly any objects or anything else in here, but there are quite a few boxes as though things have been packed up. One of the big steel crates is in here, and you can see that she's been like putting smaller boxes inside of it. She goes over to a water pitcher and she pours everyone some water.
I take mine and go, so going somewhere?
Oh, yeah. It hasn't been a good time here. But I mean, I'd rather hear about Reggie. Reggie, what have you been up to?
I mean, we'd love to hear about Reggie as well. Reginald.
Yeah, Reggie.
What have you been up to?
So Froggy launches into a story. It seems like he's not going to catch her up on everything since she left Wafisa, because up until just a few years ago, they were talking on the ExoNet, apparently. So he basically tells her about how the radio tower broke down. He wasn't able to repair it. And then a couple years later, you four showed up and Felix was able to repair it. Those 2 years in the middle, he's sort of vague about. He was living in the radio station. He was sometimes going to Black Harbor to like trade or like get food when needed. And he did a lot of scavenging and made a lot of friends with vagrants and other people living on the outskirts of society. But he seems to kind of like glaze all that over, and he seems very resistant to giving any detail. And he finishes his story and says, yeah, so I've been living on the scapegoat. It's great. It's air conditioned. It's warm when it needs to be. It's quiet. I get to be alone, and I can just kind of, well, I live in the cargo bay. There's an access panel you can move aside, and there's a space in there. It's roomy. It's like 10 by 10. The ceiling's only about 4 feet high, but I crawl in and I can sit and I can sleep, and I have a little crate with a little lamp, and I bring my food in there. And so, yeah, me and Percy, oh, Percy's my cat. Me and Percy just hang out in there all the time. And
what?
Like, that's pretty much it. That's my life.
Reggie,
you've had a cat,
Froggy,
on the
what?
Zip?
When did you get a cat?
You know Percy.
No.
I really don't think we know cat on our ship.
Yeah, Percy. Percy's a great mouser. Haven't you noticed there aren't any rats on the ship?
There weren't rats before.
We're in space, Froggy.
Froggy, did you bring rats on our ship?
There were rats. Trust me. There were rats. You probably picked them up on Kamiri 4.
No, those were. We told you, Froggy, those were drift rats. That was a gang. They weren't real rats.
Oh. Okay. Well, I got us a cat because of all the rats.
Oh, my God. Where did you even get a cat?
The truck stop.
How is this the first time hearing about this?
There were no cats on the truck stop.
Not after I was done with it. Well, actually, I think they had a litter. I think they had a litter of cats. And yeah, I chose the cutest one, so.
Reginald, how many cats did you bring onto our ship?
I brought one cat.
How many kittens?
This was a kitten, and now it's a cat. Man, you know, Vera, usually they're pretty quick, but I think I'm going to have to teach them about the birds and the bees, and things grow up. Things go from kitten to cat all the time.
I'm going to have to, oh my God, it's going to wreak havoc with the ship when the water, oh
and
my
you
God.
Know what? I'm sorry, but like that adventure that we had to go on at the fuel station, there was a lot of crazy stuff there. I personally feel very affected still to this day by what we witnessed, and we brought back a living creature. What if it's been touched by the void?
gonna ask, have we done any like checks on this to make sure it's not a demon cat?
I have done. I don't understand what you're talking about, but this is just a normal cat with four legs, six tails, two tongues. No, I'm just kidding.
Vera, this, we're so sorry to disturb you here, but I've been to Sibylline before. Honestly, this is turning out to be a far more interesting trip than the last one already. But do you have any alien artifacts? I understand that's a big thing here, to help us figure out what is up with the cat that we apparently have.
You want to know? Yeah, I mean, we have. I don't really. She kind of looks at the rest of you imploringly. Yeah, we have alien artifacts. They're not going to be able to help you with your cat.
I look over at Felix and I'm like, you know, Felix, I'm actually kind of relieved, because when you told me Froggy chewed through all those cords in the cargo bay, I thought something was really wrong with him, but it's all starting to make sense now.
Wait, hold on. No, Percy just chewed through those cables because she was teething. That's it. She hasn't done that in forever.
Froggy, we will deal with this when we get back to the scapegoat.
And you know what, Robert? Percy also drank the orange juice.
That's not true. Percy doesn't like orange juice. And I saw you do it.
That was before we even got to the fuel station, Haley.
I tried.
Okay, so listen. Let's not forget why we're here, right? We need fuel.
The auction.
Yep. We need fuel.
It's a wingman for Froggy.
We need fuel, and Dr. Voss here would like to analyze the alien artifacts.
So just a reminder, AI is common. Virtual intelligences don't exist. The orb itself is an alien artifact that, like, her consciousness got trapped inside of. I know we haven't revisited that since, like, episode 3 or something. So I just want to, like, restate that she's a virtual intelligence. She's a straight-up consciousness transfer into this alien artifact.
Stick.
So you say that, and you kind of, like, produce the orb.
I produce the orb.
And Vera goes, oh, this is Dr. Voss? And the orb kind of like lights up a little bit as it talks. She doesn't always do that, but she can control like the lighting. So she does that when, you know, in this particular case.
Yes, I'm sorry for the intrusion. My name is Dr. Voss. I'm afraid I'm too sick to leave the ship. So this is my proxy. It has a camera, a microphone, and speakers. And Felix said he'd be kind enough to carry it around for me, so I don't miss out on everything that's happening on Sibylline. I myself am a xenolinguist, and I just couldn't pass up the chance to see what you might have here. It's a rare treat for me, and I'm very sad that I can't leave the ship. But, wow, this research station's quite bare. What's happened?
Well, I suppose it's my turn to catch Reginald up. Since we last spoke, the company fell on hard times. First one, then two, then three locations were shut down. We were already a small company. Eventually, we were the only location left. This one dig site. The whole C-suite was gone. There was just an owner. And he poured all of the money he could into this dig site, trying to save the company. It just didn't work. Corporations come and go. So he's putting the whole thing up for auction, just a few days. Which, I cannot tell you how frustrating it is that just a few weeks ago, we made our biggest discovery yet. There are these buildings, essentially. These buildings from the alien race. They're buried all over Sibylline, and a bunch of polyfin as well, I'm sure you know. They're pretty hard to find, and they're very rarely found. Most of them were found in the first year or two. Well, we found one, and we own it. It's on our dig site, so we laid claim to it. But we can't open the door. Every trick that worked on polyfin and on Sibylline in years past, it's just not working with this door. Explosives have worked on some places that have been a bit more difficult to crack into. But we don't have the resources to uncover the entire building. And without doing that, we can't know if our explosives are gonna harm something inside of there. And I just cannot take that risk. I'd rather the company go under and a new team come in and crack the door open properly to make sure none of these artifacts are destroyed. It's incredibly frustrating. I've spent the last few weeks trying to get in there and I just can't. And I knew if I could open that door and find some new artifacts that we could sell, the corporation could be saved.
I could get you a good deal on a laser cutter.
It's resistant.
You know, I don't know why you even want to save a corpo. I mean, I've never met a good one.
She kind of just looks at you. Doesn't know what to say.
But what I'm hearing is valuable goods, alien artifacts, hidden away. I mean, that sounds attractive to me.
Plus a whole research station for sale. You can't forget about that.
Thorn, I don't think we have the liquid assets to acquire a research station right now.
Not with that attitude.
It's more than just a research station. It's going to be all of Lycar Corporation and all of its holdings. It's probably not going to go for very much, especially knowing what its actual value probably is. My guess is that we'll sell for 1.2, maybe 1.3 million.
So Thorn, unless you're hiding some, you know, credits that I haven't seen, I think we're better off focused on this alien building.
All right, maybe I'll scrape something together, but yeah, maybe we'll check the building in the meantime.
Now, real quick, how much do you think our car is worth?
To the right buyer? That's the thing. First, we have to find someone willing to buy it. I don't know if there's many roads on this planet, but there is probably like a wealthy businessman lurking somewhere that would take it off world and enjoy it. That is, if we don't want to enjoy it ourselves anymore. Unfortunately, the Loki Pond packs we have are not getting us anywhere close.
Well, if there's a Loki Pond draft tournament, like, I know you guys have been practicing on the ship.
Yeah.
Oh. I think we could make 1.2 mil.
I do have some basic trade goods that may be valuable this far out, but still nothing in that realm.
Voss cuts in and says,
"You'll have to excuse my friends. I'm afraid that if I could only leave the ship, I could probably keep them in order. It's like wrangling a bunch of cats sometimes.
One cat.
We don't just have one cat on the ship, we have five.
What?
Oh. Is DJ Froggy, Reginald, less than a cat? Where's he factoring here?
Froggy says, I'm not a cat at all. I own a cat. Oh, you can't see Vera. You can't say anything to them. They just don't get it. You know, I'm telling you, I'm the smartest person on the ship, easily. And they really look to me as like an older brother in a lot of ways.
I think we should leave him here.
No, I mean, Vera, he's totally right. Did you know he is the voice of the rebellion?
Oh, yes. Reginald, you were telling me that you were getting your radio station into a position where you could start transmitting details about certain things. Froggy says, oh, well, yeah, it didn't work out. So didn't work out. Felix fit the station, then I got shot in the chest and I decided to leave Wafisa.
Yeah. I mean, you didn't really decide to leave, Froggy. We kind of were forced to take you on board with us because you were dead or dying. But, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now I'm here. Yeah.
Anyway,
Voss cuts in again and she goes,
anyway, what I wanted to ask you, dear Vera, is if I could take a look at this doorway. I'm a xenolinguist myself. If there's any sort of markings or anything, perhaps I can help. Though, of course, none of these alien artifacts have power. If they could be powered, we wouldn't have this problem. But maybe I'll notice something. And you have a group of people who, sort of by trade now, are explorers. They might notice something as well. And I'd be lying if I didn't say, I just want to see the door. It sounds fantastic. I actually haven't seen one up close yet.
You're like five on the ship.
Yeah, Voss, I'm gonna give you, it sounds like a real cool door. I definitely think we should explore it. But girl, you don't have any hands. I don't know what you're gonna do with her.
I don't think I'm gonna open the door, Robert. I just want to see it. You wouldn't understand. This is a pursuit of knowledge. This is the inquisitive mind probing out for secrets unknown.
I mean, you also don't have eyes, if I'm going to get all technical.
I have a camera.
You know, I'm a very technical mind, if you didn't know.
And I have eyes. I'm on the ship, sick, and I have two eyes, two ears. I have all the normal human parts on the ship, okay?
Yeah, Robert, and I, like, elbow Robert in the stomach.
Right, sorry, right.
So, that's great. Dr. Voss, I think we should go look at the door. Can we also get some fuel while we're here, Vera? Do you have any fuel we could acquire from you?
Reggie assured us that you would get us some fuel.
No, I didn't.
He's just shy.
Vera says, no, don't have any fuel here. But, you know, there's a support town nearby. They sell fuel. It'd be cheaper to just fly to the other side of the planet, but you're going to have to wait in the queue. It's a couple days.
How do we get to this town? Like, on foot? Do you have some sort of transportation?
You fly your ship.
Yeah, we'll have to fly and land there and get fueled up.
Yeah, it's like an hour away. If you fly a few hours to the other side of the planet, to the main trade hub, you'd have to wait in the queue for like a day or two.
Yeah, it was a bad looking queue when we were up there, Thorn.
Yeah, I'm not looking to go through any checkpoints right now.
Yeah, we're probably better off paying the outback fee.
But before we go, I want to check out the door.
Yes, 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 we know, Doc.
Can we go now?
Vera nods, and then because she doesn't seem like she's sure if Voss can see her nod, she says, yeah, let's go. Finish your water, and then let's head out.
Chug, chug, chug.
Chug, chug, chug.
Delicious.
As we're all readying to head out, I point at Froggy and I go, that fuel's coming out of your paycheck.
Mm-hmm. What? What? Wait, you guys are getting paychecks?
Oh, I was thinking, well, we got out the door. Maybe Vera and Froggy, you two can have some time to catch up.
Robert is a good wingman.
Well, no, I'm going to show you where the door is. You don't get any romantic feelings from the two of them at all.
That makes it even more likely that Robert would try to force them to be together.
Exactly.
But Vera's like, no, I'm going to show you where the door is.
They'll be rolling around in grease together before we know it.
Ow, ow.
That'll be Robert and his future love interest.
Well, he's showing them how, you know?
Yeah, he'll be like, let me take you to a little place called Chimera 4.
You mean Chimera? The good grease.
You mean Chimera 4?
Yeah, do I mean Chimera 4?
Chimera 4, I think is what you mean.
Chimera 4?
Are you looking for a podcast that is the perfect blend of paranormal and pop culture?
Starting off with spooky stuff where we talk cryptids and ghosts.
And then we have our pop culture section where we sometimes have celebrity guests.
Whoa.
Yeah, do you want more?
Boy, howdy.
There's always genre news and all kinds of celebrity deaths. All kinds of it. If you're a celebrity and you die, we're going to talk about it.
I actually was hoping for UFOs.
Well, bet your ass we got that too at the end.
Earthling Entertainment. New episodes every Thursday.
Make sure to check us out anywhere you get your podcasts.
Hey guys, real quick. If you're enjoying the show and you want to stay 2 weeks ahead of the story, the Patreon is how you do it. $5 a month gets you every episode, every Star Master log, and every SWN rules breakdown with Brian, all before they hit the public feed. The Star Master logs especially. That's where I get into what was actually planned versus what happened in the episodes, the scenes I improvised on the spot, and what the players did that I didn't see coming. It's a behind-the-screen version of everything you are hearing right now, and if that sounds like your sort of thing, head on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast, because the next episode is already out. So, everyone gets their oxygen masks. Everyone has basically still full oxygen tanks, because you were only outside for 20 minutes max. And she leads you out the door.
Yeah, let's go. How far is this?
Our property is pretty small here. The dig site's only a few minutes walk away.
Okay.
So you go outside into the blasting sibilant heat. The blue dwarf is just like blasting this like intense sun down on you. The luminance is very high. It's like you feel like you're getting sunburned within a few minutes. So it makes sense that she's wearing long sleeves and gloves and a wide hat. And she leads you off to the dig site. You approach essentially 1 acre by 1 acre area that's covered in holes. Some of them deep, some of them shallow, all of them marked with a bevy of different colored flags. There are steel ladders inside a bunch of the holes. There are crates outside of a bunch of them, these same steel crates that the construction bot was loading up. You can see its tracks in the sand here as well. It's apparently been going back and forth and getting whatever is from this area and loading it up for transport off this planet, probably in preparation for the auction. She leads you to a relatively untouched area of this acreage. And she says, well, we were working our way methodically through it. You know, we started in the southwest corner and we were going to end in the northeast corner. And then we were going to buy another plot and another plot and another plot. A lot of the plots around here are pretty much for sale. We're really far away from where the original alien artifacts were found. It's actually on the other side of the planet. So the pickings are pretty slim over here. Usually you're just going to find like the stray tool. Or maybe some ancient randomness, nothing like an entire building. So that's really how we've been like carving out our existence, is by finding these tiny tools and like these markings. But then we found this, and you crest a small rise to see down a smooth sand ramp, a steel looking door embedded in the dune before you. Across the middle of it are sweeping symbols, very tendril-like, as they work their way across like a horizontal band in the middle of the door. The door appears to be about 8 feet tall, and this takes up probably 18 inches. There are no like dots or like individual like markings like you'd see like on an I or like a lowercase j. Instead, it's more of like an uninterrupted cursive with extra like tendrils seeping off in like odd swirls and some underlines under like individual characters. None of it seems to make any sense to any of you. And you move forward towards that door.
Just from my mental image, as in like almost like an Arabic script.
I'd say that's accurate. I'd say it's very Arabic looking.
Cool, cool.
Well, what you have instead is you have Arabic letters stacked on top of other Arabic letters to make an individual letter. So they're really tall, intricate letters that are, they're all 18 inches tall and they look like they need all of that space just to make all of the markings that are required for like one section. If it could even be called a letter, each marking might be one word. Or maybe the aliens that created this place had no concept of letters and words, and this is something entirely different. No one's ever really cracked that code. Very little is known about the aliens. Almost essentially nothing. 7 years have gone by, and there's just a lot of theories. But there's actually a lot of variance between different alien artifacts. It's almost like they're from completely different eras or even different species, except for that there is one through line through every place that's been found, and that's been this writing. So it's been very confusing for the xenoarchaeologists to sort of pinpoint exactly what this species is, if they're even a species. Where they came from, where they went, why they're not here anymore, all of that is still a great mystery.
I move up close to it, make sure Dr. Voss has good views of it.
I was going to say, luckily we have one of the finest xenolinguists that ever did exist. Dr. Voss, Felix, Thorn, y'all seen anything like this?
I've picked up quite a few languages in my day, but this is not like anything I've ever seen.
Yeah, no, I mean, I know lots of different computer languages. This doesn't look like anything I've ever seen, even digitally. Haley, what about you and your travels?
Honestly, I haven't met a closed door that couldn't be fixed with explosions of some kind. I've not seen anything like this. Or run into this particular problem recently.
And that language doesn't feel like it's from the void. And I look at Haley and make, like, wiggly eyebrows.
Vera says, that's the second time you've said something like that to her. What is going on? What is the void?
Don't worry about it, Vera. I'll tell you when you're old.
Let's avoid talking about that right now.
Okay. And Voss says,
Felix, can you hold me up? I'd like to see the door a bit closer.
Yep. And I kind of hold her up and, like, slowly move her around, like, where the writing is.
Oh, stop. I'm getting nauseous. Just keep me stationary a few feet away from the door.
Okay. Be more specific next time, please.
Oh, okay. This writing, yeah, it's the same writing we've seen on other planets. Polyphen, Wafitha, it's standard. We've never quite cracked it. I see many letters here that were, you know, letters, sentences, words, thoughts, feelings, expressions, whatever they may be. I'm noticing the same patterns I've seen before. So when I think back to some of these patterns in the places I've seen them on Wafisa and Polyphen, well, it's likely this is a place of healing. Some of these markings are exclusive to places we found that on the inside appeared to have something to do with medical needs, emergency attention, hospice care, at least to our interpretation once we got inside. Does anyone else hear that, or is that just interference with my speakers?
Hear what?
What?
Oh, Felix, I don't feel right.
We come back to the ship, Dr. Voss?
Well, wait, I don't feel right, I mean, I don't feel normal. Or I do feel normal. I feel right. I feel more right than I did before. This body feels normal. For the first time, I can feel something in there connecting with me.
And suddenly, the door slides open, revealing a black corridor that slowly lights up with a blue luminance that seems to come from everywhere, yet nowhere.
Amalara, what did you do?
I don't know.
Vera steps forward and says, oh my god, this is incredible. This might be the first example of alien technology actually activating. You have no idea what this means.
Well, I think it means it's time for us to check out what's in here.
I hope it means some kind of additional compensation.
Yes, of course. This is all going to make us rich.
Here, here.
Extremely rich, but more than that, The research potential is unfathomable. This might be the greatest discovery of our lifetimes. And she reaches over and she grabs Robert Ross and starts swinging him around in her exuberance.
My God, I absolute Vera. Yeah, oh, now, because currently your corporation is not worth a damn penny, but y'all need a little bit of technology, would you say this discovery might be worth, oh, I don't know, at least 1.2 million?
I think this is going to save the company. Well, wait. The discovery of the door doesn't mean anything. We can't sell that. It's just going to make Veridyne rich. They're probably going to win the auction. I don't have time to study the door. I don't have time to figure out anything about this. What we need to do, what I need to do, is get in there and find something to sell very quickly. And if it's a powered-on item, it'd be worth billions.
Oh my.
It'd be worth more than we could imagine.
I can imagine quite a bit.
Do you think it would be right that Veridyne would get that compensation, or would someone as brilliant as yourself might potentially be the person who would deserve this discovery?
Robert, I don't know, but I can tell you what I do know. I have 3 days.
Oh.
I'm going to go back to the research station. I'm going to grab some equipment, and I'm going in right now. 3 days is hardly enough for the discovery of a lifetime. Even if I lose everything, at least I'll have had the experience of seeing all of this first.
Yeah, I know we're trying to get out of here quickly, but there's no way we can walk away from this now. The potential profit is... I can't. I need a minute.
I'm just gonna walk a couple steps away and just kind of crouch down.
Puts his head between his knees and does some deep breaths.
Billion with a B.
I also need a minute. Go over to Thorn and look him in the eyes and say, "We can't let her separate. We can't let her go back and quote unquote get some equipment and potentially phone Veridyne or anybody else. This has to be us if we want to make any money on this."
Maybe we should have someone go with her just to make sure. Vera, before you go get your equipment, Robert wants to just make sure that you don't run into any trouble on the way. So he's going to go with you. Right, Robert?
I'm definitely not too dumb for this task.
Yeah. I don't care. Come on, let's go. You can lift some of the stuff I need.
Exactly.
And she sprints off across the sands.
Don't let her out of your sight. Go.
Not a damn chance. Y'all get to exploring.
Well, Froggy's there with you, and he's like, "Man, this is going to be so much fun. I can't wait to see what's in there." Wow, Vera was really happy. Did you see how happy she was?
We're all happy, Froggy. This is great.
Yeah.
Make a fortune here.
Oh, that's not what I heard. I thought we were going to go in there. It looks fun. It looks like there's like cool stuff, probably. Alien stuff, right?
That's what I'm hearing.
Cool. Robert. Vera leads you back to the research station. She picks up a really heavy, like, explorer's bandolier and hands it off to you. It has, like, a flashlight, multi-tool, a bunch of, like flares, random other stuff that she needs, a bunch of rope, stuff like that. And she says, "Hey, put this on."
Yes, I do. Before I do, I check it for any potential booby traps and then slap it on.
Okay, yeah, you give it a quick look. It's just a normal bandolier.
I am so uncomfortably close to this woman.
Where is all this suspicion coming from? I want to know
supposed to mean?
Yeah, what's going through Robert's head with Vera? He thinks she's going to call Veridyne.
Yeah.
She's booby trapped her own equipment.
Damn right.
Well, yeah, her name's right in it. Veridyne.
Spelled differently.
And hold this black round sphere with a string coming out of it. Don't worry about the hissing sound. Just hold
exactly.
It for a second.
She wants to save this business. She doesn't want Veridyne to have it. She picks up some, like, another, like, a work tool belt, and she replaces her wide-brimmed hat for a hard hat with a light on the front. And she says, "Okay, I think that's all we need." And she sprints out the door.
Amazing. Vera, you are a wonder. Let's square dance on back to that door.
She's like a mile ahead of you. She sprints out the door and you're just in an empty room being like, "Vera, you son of a gun."
You're talking to yourself.
I'm just sitting there doing a little jig, da ling, ding, 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 ding.
So you follow her, and in front of the door, once again, she hands walkie-talkies to everyone, and she says, "Okay, I'm going. You're all welcome to come with me. It's going to be a hell of a time. I don't have my crew. We already laid all of them off. I'm actually the only employee left in the company, besides that construction bot and the owner, of course, who isn't here. So I could certainly use your help, and I could certainly, once we've made some money, the owner would be happy to pay you, I'm sure."
"Until we figure out what secrets this place holds, consider us your interim crew. In fact, while you were gone, I already took the liberty of writing something up."
And then I hand her a contract and a pen.
She takes the contract from you, looking puzzled, and says, "What's this?"
"Oh, it's just a little something that says our little group, Scapegoat LLC, is working under your supervision, and that we're entitled to a small percentage of the sale of any discoveries at that auction."
And I can make a trade roll for that if you want.
"Oh, very clever. Yeah, I think let's have you do a trade int."
"Okay. That's an 11.
"Wow. Nice. Okay, so you absolutely crushed that." So she quickly skims the document, doesn't really see anything suspicious. So she signs it quickly and gives you back the contract and the pen.
"Yeah, nothing underhanded. I just figure this is even better than discussing the payment later." And so I take the contract, I sign it, I rip off the carbon copy and give it back to her with both our signatures on it.
"All right, tell us what you need."
"Ah, wonderful, wonderful. Well, that's great." She takes the rope off of Robert and she says, "This is too much weight for one person." And she hands it to Haley. She goes, "Strap that across your chest." And then she goes on her own like work belt and she takes a bundle of flares and hands a few to Felix and a few to Thorn.
"Thanks.
Sounds good, boss."
Wouldn't it be funny if she was like, "And my laser rifle, Froggy, you can have this."
"And Robert, you hold this large cartoon bomb."
I honestly believe she might.
Yeah, she doesn't have a laser rifle. So,
well, but before we move in, I'm going to kind of look down at Alara and like ask her, "Are you okay?"
Yeah, thanks for asking, Felix. I don't know. I only have one thing that I know, and that is that I need to go in there. It's like having never breathed before, and now I'm finally breathing. I have to understand what that means."
"All right. Well, if anything gets too much for you, or feel weird in a bad way, let me know."
"I will, Felix. Thank you."
And the 4, 5, 6, 7 of you, the 7 of you move off down the dark hallway.
And who's in front? No, it goes, "Oh, it's Froggy."
Vera is like power walking. She's like, yeah. She's so excited. She's like a kid in a candy shop.
We got to get in front of her. Cause
yeah, I'm gonna stick as close to Vera as possible. And Froggy, because these two, I do not trust them. But I appreciate
you and Robert.
But I appreciate their excitement.
I feel like if she gets too far ahead, Robert tackles her and he's like, "She's gonna call Viridine!" Or she like reaches into a pocket and Haley like punches her out like, "She's got a gun!
She's got a cartoon bomb!"
Listen, ever since the cultists on the station, we've all been a little high strung, I think.
So it sounds like you guys are fully prepared and moving into the exosite, potentially the first powered exosite in the history of the sector. Unfortunately, that's all our time for tonight, so we will have to save that exploration for another time. Well, everyone, that wraps up another awesome episode of the Dark Star Adventure Cast. Special thanks to everyone in our crew. We got Brian playing Thorn, we've got Doja playing Robert, we have Stephanie as Haley, and of course we've got Scott as Felix. All the NPCs are played by me, Jeff, also the GM, and special thanks to my wife, Casey, who designed the logo and does a lot of our art and listens to me talk about this podcast nonstop. So thanks so much for listening. We love you all, and bye for now. Every day, a Dark Star Adventure Cast employee is forced to clean out the scapegoat septic tank, the worst job imaginable.
P.U., this stinks.
But thanks to generous patrons like Brad and Holly, our septic has never looked cleaner. For just pennies a day, you can help keep the ship as clean as a drift rat's beehole
and relieve the suffering of a hapless crewmate who's just trying to record a podcast but is being forced to clean the septic for totally plot-related reasons. So don't be a dirty drift rat. Be like Brad and Holly. Keep the scapegoat clean at patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast.
Wow, much better. Thanks, kind stranger.
If you want to hear every episode before the public feed, the Patreon is how you do it. $5 a month gets you everything 2 weeks early. The main episodes, the Star Master logs, and even the SWN rules breakdown that Brian records to go with each and every episode. Head on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast, because the next episode is already out.